Happy Monday to you and welcome back to the DriveCast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint, and I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And we jump back into our series called Joyride this week as we're looking at the book of Philippians and the reality that, you know, Paul 16 times in 104 verses, he mentions, calls us to this concept of joy. And joy is something that we've said is not a feeling, right, as much as it is a discipline of heart, that joy is this abiding sense that your eternity is secure even when your today is chaos, and that God is the source of unshakable joy. And as Paul begins the letter in those first six verses that we looked at this week, you know, it's very common for him as he begins a letter in the New Testament to say grace and peace to you. And that's not accidental. I think Paul begins with those two words because of their importance. Grace is God's unmerited favor, something that we cannot earn right from him. And so that we all need grace from God, which puts us all in the same place spiritually. So we all need grace from God to have then peace with God. As much as we hate it, we are born into this world as God's enemies. The book of Romans tells us that. And so at some point, we have to make peace, which requires humility on our part, which was very difficult in the society at Philippi. They had this thing called the cursus honorum, where people were ranked into various categories in their society, all these different strata categories of people. We talked about those just a little bit, the Senate, the equestrians, the decurions, the citizens, the freedmen, and the slaves. And the whole idea was that you were going to move up. You're going to do whatever it took to move up levels in their culture. But Paul is calling us to grace. You know, in so many of his other letters, like his letter to the Galatians, Paul, an apostle sent by Jesus, or to Ephesus, he starts out his letter, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. To the church at Colossae, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. But the greeting to the Philippian church is different. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. See, in a world of ladder climbers, in a world where people are trying to make it up the ladder, Paul calls himself a servant. So the way up is down. It's this idea that joy and humility are hitched together. And so Paul, loving these Philippians so much, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you and every prayer of mine, for you are for you, making my prayers with joy. I think it's just a great reminder to us that we not only pray for others, and that our prayers matter for others, that God hears them, and that God responds to them, maybe not always in the way we want and the time we want. But it's also a good reminder to us that you need people praying for you. Like, who is praying for you on a regular basis? You know, I shared with our church that I have three people who text me every weekend from around the country who are praying for me specifically. And I know them and know them well. And I believe their prayers matter. I'm grateful for that, for their prayers. And so that's what we want to do. We want to leverage heaven in one another's behalf, asking God to both meet our needs and to continue his work and his Spirit's work, that we would be responsive to it. And then in verse 5, he says that he's joyful. He gives, you know, prayers joyfully for them because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And you know, we talked last week about how Paul started this church with a woman, a slave, and a Gentile. Those were the three original converts, and how, you know, three of the seven prayers that Hebrews, Orthodox Hebrews males prayed were, Lord, thank you that I'm not a woman, a slave, or a Gentile. And so God starts with this kind of motley crew. And it's just interesting to me that against that backdrop, Paul uses completely different terms when he actually starts the letter, right? Instead of, hey, you're a woman, you're a slave, you're a Gentile, he uses terms like saints, servants, and partners. And I thought partners, this was just a great opportunity for us to be reminded about how important it is to remember that we as a church are a family. Church is not a building. The church is people. And we are partners in the local church of God. We use the term church membership. And I talk about that like playing pickup basketball, right? Like, you can go play pickup basketball. You show up when you want. You play as long as you want. You leave when you want. But whenever you join a team, when you put the jersey of a team on, you voluntarily submit yourself to the rules and the guidelines, really, of that team, of that coach, right? And so you don't just show up when you want. You come to practice and you play in games and you follow the schedule and all those kinds of things. And when you talk about church membership, you're voluntarily bringing your life under the authority of the local church's leaders. And man, I just think whatever that church, that local body is calling you to, then becomes priority in your life. And again, it's voluntary. You choose. You pray that out with God in the context of your relationship with Him. We have a doctrine called the priesthood of the believer, right? We believe every believer goes straight to God, hears from God what God wants from their lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. But part of that is being connected to a local church. And so part of that is being woven into the fabric. And for us, that begins with our five core values: gospel identity, which means we are new; reaching priority, which means we are missionaries; authentic community, which means we're a family; spiritual intimacy, which means we are His; and personal ministry, which means we are servants. That's where, at least here at LifePoint, at our church, that we start. And from there, God will lead you on a unique journey, pointing you in directions by His word and prayer and circumstances and other believers. And so that's why we landed on verse 6, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. We're never going to be perfect until the day of Christ, until we're restored into the becoming the creation that God intended, right, for us to be before sin was introduced into the world. There's going to come a moment when He's going to light up all this darkness and mend all this brokenness. And so I'm going to pray that we'll live from that attitude today, that we will, as James chapter 1, verse 4 says, let patience finish her work. That while we're waiting on God to accomplish His perfect ending, His perfect restored creation, that we'll let patience finish her work in us, that we may be complete, lacking nothing. God, that's our prayer today, that You would help us, Lord, to move on to completion. God, we're grateful that You don't give up on us. Sometimes when it feels like, or we feel like giving up, You don't give up on us, that You're always at work in us. And so, God, I pray that we would be prayerful people, leaning heavy into grace, and out of that grace, sensing Your peace at work in our lives. Lord, we want to live from that well today. We pray You'll help us. Now You take the opportunity to pray.